Let's begin. Welcome to Build an Agency, a podcast where we talk about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, growth tactics, building businesses, and the events that affect your company. Let's jump right in.
Welcome back to the podcast. We're on episode 21, and I'm here in the studio with Attilio.
What's up, guys? And I'm super pumped about today, actually. Travis and I had the free time, or we just like immersed ourselves last night with just a ton of information on landing pages. So we're really going to get into that pretty deep today. And actually, I think that's the whole topic of today's podcast.
Yeah, we're just going to get into landing pages. I'm really excited for this episode because I personally have had a lot of misconceptions when it came to like landing pages, the elements of landing pages, like the proper uses. Like you and I have even gotten into like disagreements on like plenty of things that have to do with like landing page usage and all that. So I'm actually really excited because we got to clear up a lot of misconceptions, at least that I had about them. So it was right. Good.
So I guess to cover all of our bases, what are landing pages, right? So landing pages are used to just capture leads or to sort of warm up potential customers to the product or service you're going to sell them. So it's sort of like one step, one lily pad, or one step in the funnel. And it's where you can kind of gauge your leads. It's where you can sort of filter leads out. It's where you can find the most relevant leads. And it's generally where you'll see a lot of conversion rate optimization that can be done.
Yeah.
So, and if you're using like a solid CMS or something, a solid program which really tracks users as they go through the buyer's journey, you will definitely be able to see sort of where there are swamp areas, I guess, or like stagnant areas where you're losing a lot of customer opportunities, or where you could definitely capitalize on some huge conversion rate increases. So that's sort of what landing pages are. They're sort of the lily pads as you're crossing the river to the freedom zone or something. I don't know.
Freedom zone.
Whatever you want to call it. And there's kind of essentials that go with these landing pages, right?
So like the basic elements of a landing page would be like your unique selling proposition. So like, what is it that you're offering to your buyer? The next thing that'd be the super crucial and probably the most important part, well, second most important part of your landing page is what we call the hero shot. So it's like an image or a video showing context of use. So showing your service in action, or showing your product being used, or anything like that that shows what they're getting, what you're selling, so that you've got a super clear message. Next, you need to include the benefits of your offering. So what problems are your target audience having that your product or service is solving? So you need to alleviate those fears or those problems or whatever. Fourth, you're actually going to be dealing a lot with social proof. And so that's like testimonials. If you're running a service or like a software as a service, and like Google and Facebook and I don't know, AOL, or just different companies are using your product, placing their logos as like your clients or people who have used your product or service, it adds credibility. So that's that social proof. Like people are going to see like the Google logo on the site and be like, oh wow, Google uses this guy's product. It must be good, right? So it's that social proof. And then you end up with your single conversion goal. So the most important part of your page, the call to action, is like the true tipping point between a person bouncing off of your landing page and converting onto your landing page. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that single goal mentality is actually the entire like purpose, or the entire like definition of this landing page, right? So other pages on your website have tons of other functions like, providing information or navigating people to a correct resource, that kind of stuff. But really the call to action is what really ties together this landing page, and it's what really fortifies like the direction that you want people to go in. This is where you have your sort of swimming pool as your website with it just full of information, full of water, right? But you want to start channeling people down through a funnel or into a funnel. And so you create this landing page as sort of like the opening to the river, right?
Mm.
Or the opening to the outlet of this funnel. So what's really important for CTAs, call to actions, right, are sort of like their placement and their design. And there's really, those are sort of the only two things that are sort of critical about the call to action. And the reason why those two are critical are because depending on what's on your page or the level of commitment for your call to action or for the call to action to occur, you know, to get that conversion, you'll have to choose different placements. Not only that, but you'll choose different designs for it. So some of the most important things are sort of like if you want an above the fold call to action, if you want a below the fold call to action.
What's the fold?
Fold is right when someone hits a website, there's a certain amount of space that they see. Right. So in the first second of the website loading, that top section of the page is above the fold. And then as soon as you start scrolling down, that stuff is below the fold. So it's sort of like a imaginary line, I guess you can think of as like, oh, that's the first thing they see. Boom. Or this is the extra information on their page. So and the design really for a call to action, so the placement is above the fold or below the fold really, and the design for it is really critical as well because if no one can see it or if no one can tell it's a button, then people are going to be less likely to click. And that's at the end of the day, that's what you want them to do, right? You want people to click. You want people to get into their call to action. You want people to send you their emails, etc. So that's really information on call to action. And there's a really cool, I guess, idea or a sort of a standard where the more complex a page is, the lower on the page the call to action should be. So as complexity increases, the lower the call to action should be. So the more detailed the offer is, the harder it is to have people sort of fill in or buy into your product, the lower the call to action should be.
Like if you're selling a lawn care service, you probably want, like it's a simple offer, you're probably wanting your CTA, like your call to action, at the very top of the page. Whereas for us, all of our landing pages are going to have our call to actions at the very bottom of the page because our services and our offerings are actually a little more complex.
Yeah, and that's really like... It's on a per offer basis, right? So you never know, like, I mean, we may have an offer that's super simple and we'll put our call to action probably closer to the top. So the next little bit would be, well, actually we didn't really touch on design, but really the critical things are have contrasting colors. Some of the more important things would be like having 3D buttons or making sure that someone can like very easily understand like, oh, that's what I need to click if I want to receive my X, my offer, my incentive.
Your page has to have a very specific purpose. And so make sure your call to action button is a different color than anything else that's on your page. Not that there should be tons of links on your page. Like the person who did the course that we took yesterday, he kind of he made this analogy, like imagine every link going out of your landing page is like a crack in the foundation of your landing page. You don't want to have a whole bunch of leaks or cracks or anything. So yeah,
it splits the attention, right?
It splits the attention, so. And it actually drops your chance of conversions by quite a bit. And so if you do have other links and buttons on your page for whatever reason, make sure that your main purpose, call to action, like what you want your visitors to do, isn't a different color. It's very distinct, and it's like it's front and center, so people understand what's going on.
Absolutely. And the next bit would sort of be forms. So there's probably going to be a form. You may not have a form, but if you are intending to capture like leads or like emails, or you want to call people again, instead of like warming people up with like a PDF download or something, you're probably going to have a form.
Yeah.
And there's sort of two main elements for forms as well. The elements would be the amount of friction that it would take to complete the form, or like a perceived sort of friction and the actual friction. And then there's also the like incentive that you're offering. So if your incentive is sort of a small little incentive, people probably won't trade their information for the incentive. So if you have a huge incentive, say you're giving away a car to 100 people or something, they'll probably fill out whatever you want them to.
For sure.
And I guess we can elaborate a little bit more on the friction. So perceived friction comes from sort of like the length or the difficulty of like filling out the form, right?
Well, so perceived friction is when, like, imagine you're going to a website and you want to sign up for something, but the form they give you is just huge. The perceived friction is, oh my gosh, this is a really large form. That's going to take forever. And so it causes your user either frustration or like annoyance that you have to fill all this stuff out. The actual friction is like real problems with the form and the actual experience of really filling it out.
Yeah, and that's all sort of in the mentality. It's almost more of a psychology thing rather than like, oh, my incentive is this, so I, you know, have some arbitrary number that calculates exactly how much information they're willing to trade. It's really just a perceived, so it's something that you'll probably have to test. I know that a lot of people, specifically the example that we were given was something like, by removing one form field, these guys were able to increase conversions by like
Expedia saved $12 million a year by deleting one form field. And then like ImageScape, so they had like form fields on their form, and they reduced them from 11 fields to 4 fields, and their conversion rate went up by 120%.
So it's huge.
Yeah, so you want your forms to not like
match the incentive.
And match the incentive, but like also like don't intimidate the users. So they have that perceived friction. A good example of like actual friction would be like if I've been asked like what industry Hone is in the past, if I'm like signing up for a service or a product, and if I go to the drop down for all the industries they've got pre-selected, and like
there's no digital marketing.
Yeah, there's no digital marketing. That causes me frustration because I have to click on other, or
if there's no other option, you know, then you have to choose like advertising agency, and that's not really what we are.
Yeah.
But We do have some advertisement stuff that we provide, but it's not like that's who we are, sure. Right?
Or like too many open-ended questions, right? So like things that like if I'm being asked to fill out a bunch of like almost like essay questions or things that can't be answered in yes, no, or in like a couple words, that's actual friction. That's super annoying. Like create simple, succinct forms that match the incentive that you're giving them. While also providing them with a good seamless experience, so they're not pissed off at you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're kind of glancing over the copy for the page. Really, though, the biggest thing is to just include information on the benefits, not just spewing out features. And benefits can kind of be developed by understanding your customers' pain points and using those pain points as the conversation starter. So like, why did you put a feature into a product or a package, right?
Yeah.
That's really what you want to deliver. You don't want to just say, yeah, we have stainless steel bolts here.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why did you put stainless steel bolts? Oh, because they are corrosion resistant. So maybe state that stuff, like the benefits rather than the features.
Yeah.
So that's sort of how you develop the copy. And then with that, the main objectives of the page.
Well, I think another important thing to add about copy real quick is make sure that your headline on your ad that they're coming in off of has something to do with your headline that they're coming in from. So like,
like the unique selling proposition.
Yeah. So if you've got like an offer, like 40% off of lawn care, like your heading shouldn't be welcome to whatever lawn care. Your heading for that landing page should be save 40% off of your first, you know, your first trim of your lawn with so-and-so landscapers. Like,
yeah, keep a consistent message.
they've got a very real expectation and purpose for clicking on your ad. So when they go to this page, make sure that expectation is met and understood. So like the user isn't confused. That's probably one of the most important things.
That even goes as deep as having the same image, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a hang gliding on your ad, so say you're promoting traffic to this page with promoted ads or something. If you have a hang glider on your ad, you should probably have a hang glider on your page and literally use the same image. Especially if you're like showing your product, you should have the same product of your image just right up front. So having that continuity, having the same scent, I guess you can consider it. So as they get closer and closer to that call to action, the scent gets stronger and stronger and stronger, but it should always be the same scent, right? So it should always be the same message.
Yeah.
So following that is super important.
If you're using a stock image or just an image that you've taken and that you've done for the ad, like really trying to incorporate the exact same image into the actual landing page, and at least keep it like thematically similar. So don't post an ad with like a dude talking on a cell phone walking through New York City. And then when they get to your landing page, it's like trees and landscape photography or something. Like, make sure that when they get to your site, they see the headline that, you know, that piqued their interest to begin with, that they see a consistent landing page ad correlation and design, so they know that they're the right place. Because if your customer shows up to your landing page and they're getting something that they weren't expecting, the chance of them bouncing is like exponentially higher.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of that brings us to like the three main like items that should be included on the landing pages, and that would be increasing the urgency for the whatever you want to call it, the event, I guess, that you want them to complete. So you should be increasing urgency. You should increase or you should include like a try before you buy kind of aspect. And then you should also include information on like social proof, so trust building things. So by building some urgency, by allowing people to try it before they buy it, or doing some kind of sample system or like 14-day free trial, that kind of thing, you're way more likely to get people to convert on the page. And then by including social proof, you greatly increase the trust and the like, hey, everyone else is doing it factor, right? The sort of the bandwagon factor.
Yeah.
So a quick little study that was ran in the middle of New York was they had one person looking up into the sky, just pointing at something. And, you know, they didn't have, they probably had four people look up, I believe the number was. But then when they increased the number to four or five people, they started getting like 18 people looking up. And once they increased the number to 20 people looking up into the sky, the number jumped up to 400 people looked up at once. So, and that's a simple experiment just on like how exponential, like the society can sort of be. It's sort of that like, what's the animal? Lemmings? Sort of how lemmings sort of like pop up. One pops up, they all start popping up. So whether you like it or not, we sort of live in a sheep society, right? So if people can see that you're doing something or that someone else is doing it, they'll probably start doing it too, or they'll give it a shot at least, right? So with those three factors, the urgency, the trials, so like the guilt-free or the risk-free trials, and then the social trust factors, it will boost your conversions like crazy. And then after that, you can just test your page, right?
Yeah.
So A-B testing is invaluable, and it's sort of the whole purpose of conversion rate optimization, right? Mm. Again, just increasing conversions by 1% or 2% often leads to huge profit margins. So conversion rate optimization can kind of be sold pretty well. So if you have like a budget of $5,000, borrow some of the budget from those ads. So borrow $1,000 from those ads for conversion rate optimization. And, you know, if you're increasing the rates by 1% or 2%,
the profit margins are just exponential. And you'll start noticing that once you start increasing budgets as well. So as you start growing, you start putting more money into the campaign, and you'll be like, wow, this conversion rate optimization is actually awesome. It's really great for my landing pages. It's boosting my profits, which means I can use more money for other things. So landing pages, man.
Yeah, for sure. Like, conversion rate optimization is just, it's so overlooked. I think a lot of, like, people, they want to put all their campaign budget into just growing traffic, right? And so what ends up happening is, they get more traffic, and that's cool, and they probably make more sales because more people are on their website, but their number of customers and their cost per acquisition is still going to be, like, directly correlated with just how much money you throw at it. But, like, when you start doing conversion rate optimization, you're going to start noticing that your conversion rate's growing, the number of customers you're getting is growing, and your cost per acquisition will actually start going down.
So you get to recycle those guys, really.
Yeah, you do.
It's like, if you're throwing 1,000 people at your product and 2% buy, you know, that's 98% of people that sort of got wasted, I guess you could almost consider.
Yeah.
Or, like, you could have tapped into. Could you imagine if you converted on 100%? I mean, that's probably unrealistic, no. But, you know, as you do more conversion rate optimization, you'll see that 2% move to 5 to 7 to 11%. And then all of a sudden, you know, if you spent X amount of money to get 1,000 people there, you're starting to make tons more money, as the output, right?
Yeah. I mean, the overall goal is like convert a higher rate of people that come to your site, grow your customer base, and start to save money per acquisition. So I'm not saying, like, put all of your budget into conversion rate optimization. Like, there's nothing wrong with bringing more traffic to your website. Like bringing traffic to a website, like, top of the funnel kind of stuff. Like, that's our wheelhouse, man. Like, we're all about that. But, like, there's something very important to be said for conversion rate optimization. Don't overlook it.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
So.
Solid. Dude, landing pages, man. Landing pages. And we're starting to put together some awesome landing pages right now, too, as we put together more funnels for ourselves. So we'll probably keep you guys in the loop. Maybe we'll have, like, a closure episode or something.
We need a part two of this. Like, yeah. I feel like we just threw a ton of information down our audience's throat. there's just so much.
We could talk about this for 8 hours. Like, straight up, we could. If we wanted to really go deep.
Yeah, but for sure. I think we can definitely do a part two. Like, I really want to do something like eight things you shouldn't do with your landing page. Or I really want to, like...
Oh, okay, that'd be cool. I would love to see if we get requests for something like that, too. So this is a call out for requests. If you see this on YouTube or on our Facebook page, leave us a message about some things that you may like, or even send us your landing page. We can even do some critiques on it there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, I'm actually pumped. I think we also found a new source to get some people actually in this podcast as well. So I know we've said it before, but
yeah, I mean,
we're looking at getting some more people on here too.
The format of this podcast will probably be changing pretty soon. I still wanted to be doing, like, educational, like, marketing podcasts.
Yeah.
I think that things like this should probably be broken down a little further in the future, but, like, we're actually going to be having a lot of guests in, like, coming up. Like, we find ways to, we're figuring out ways to record, like, conversations and to, like, you know, record a good podcast or a good interview based off that. So we're really excited just to kind of get that going. Like, we want to start bringing on like, business owners or startup, you know, CEOs who are just getting going, who have no idea about marketing. And we're thinking about doing like our consultation on the podcast live, so that people can hear, like, what is it that we do with our clients from week to week, as well as you might be the owner of a startup yourself, and you might hear somebody going through a similar struggle or problem, and you might hear a solution that helps you. So it's a way to provide value to others that we're consulting with directly, while also providing the answers and the nuggets and the wisdom to the people that are listening to it.
Yeah.
So we're really excited for that. So Keep your ear down to the ground for some more podcasts from us. We're really, really stoked.
Yeah, absolutely. Ready to cash that one?
Yeah, let's cash it out. Thanks for listening. We love you guys. Peace out.
Peace.